I'm Marcus Lemonis, and you're listening to The Prophet, the podcast from CNBC. Last year, Aristotle started selling his branded glasses in my new store, Marcus, a 20-store chain specializing in women's clothes and accessories.
What sort of feedback are you getting on the product?
He does get good feedback as far as the style. People like the brand.
They're nice.
His brand is selling well, so I'm excited to meet him and learn more about the product and the company.
How are you?
Good.
Aristotle, I'm Marcus.
Nice to meet you as well.
Where are you going on a trip?
No, this is my mobile office. If anybody needs shades, we do it on spot.
Very cool.
I thought it was odd that when he came into the store, that he kept his glasses on through the conversation. He was almost too cool for school. I wear my sunglasses at night so I can meet a new investor and not look him in the eye.
So do you always wear your glasses?
I do. Always wearing the product, absolutely.
Hi, I'm Jenny. So nice to meet you.
Aristotle.
Your glasses are awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I want to maybe take a look at where your product is over here.
Absolutely.
Sort of go through it.
So Ellison is derived from the Greek word helios, which means sun.
Are you Greek?
I'm 100%, yeah.
Which means your family's really quiet and calm and exactly. Have no energy.
So all of our products are made from Italian Mazzucchelli 1849.
We're slowed down.
Okay.
All the products are made from what?
Italian Mazzucchelli 1849.
I don't know what that is.
It's one of the best handmade acetates in the world.
And what is acetate?
It's a plant-based plastic.
Okay.
All recyclable.
And why did you choose that plastic? What makes it unique? Is it more durable? Is it lighter?
Yeah, it kind of accomplishes both.
The less expensive ones?
Do ejected plastic. It doesn't really have the longevity that you're looking for in a product. It could break.
I was pleasantly surprised about how they felt. They didn't feel like cheap plastic. And as you looked at them, you see a lot of details. A lot of thought went into it.
I feel much smarter right now. Ready to do some business. Did you design all these?
Correct. The way it happened is I went to Greece for the first time. I met my father at 18. And so when I went there for the
first time. Your father lives there?
In Greece, correct.
Okay. And you never lived with your dad?
Never even seen a picture. Getting
really?
Off that plane was, as you can imagine, impactful.
Wow.
So these are derived from my father. He used to be a Navy SEAL in Greece. So I found some old memorabilia, and that was an inspiration for one of our products. So I met two guys, and they owned over 2,000 of their own optical shops. I told them I wanted to export a product from Greece, my home country, to the American consumer. That would make sense. And I was one of their first manufactured products.
Really? You manufacture these in Greece. I would have thought it would have been China or Italy.
Yeah.
What gives Greece the advantage on manufacturing? Is there something unique about the process?
So Greece didn't have it, and that's why I learned how to manufacture, to actually start that.
I think there's definitely the same risk manufacturing in Greece as there is in manufacturing other places outside the U.S., which is it could slow lead times down, slow the design process down.
It could have been more efficient to go to an existing manufacturer.
The benefit of Greece is because we manufacture at Chinese pricing.
But I'm open to it as long as the costs are in line.
So take a pair of glasses like this, right? What is this retail for?
$180 is the highest.
And what does something like this cost to manufacture?
$22.9, including everything and shipping.
Wow.
What was your name?
Jess.
Jess Aristotle, nice to meet you.
You too.
So my goal here is to make sure that you get to try on something. And I fit over 5,000 people's faces, so I try to have my best judgment. What happens is when you look at the symmetry of the face, you're able to complement it, right? If you are a more square structure and you wear something more square, you're going to look like the Terminator.
Aristotle, can you do me a favor? I want you just to take like 3 breaths and
okay.
Slow it down.
Okay, you got it.
Talk us through price points so we understand that.
Yeah, those will be about $180.
That's a good price point.
I mean, for me, I feel like I look good in them, they could be $280,
mm-hmm.
Right?
And what really makes us different is we know customers lose or break their sunglasses. So as a Club Ellison member with a $10 membership, you'll get the next pair of sunglasses at exclusive pricing, which is half off.
You spend $10 and you get half off?
I just feel like giving a discount that large kind of takes away from the integrity of your brand.
This is more so as an insurance policy of the frame. And the reason for the price is you had to buy a full price one time.
I understand the idea of a loyalty program. I understand the idea of insurance on the product. I think you don't need to necessarily compromise the brand, nor do I think you need to undermine your retailers.
The problem with the club is that Ellison's almost promoting the fact that they're going to sell to the consumer for less than the consumer can buy it from a retailer. The same retailer that bought it from Ellison and is expecting to get a return on their investment.
Thank you. All right, I'll see you back at the office.
Okay, I'll see you soon.
After seeing the product live in the stores, I want to understand how this product gets designed, where it's inventoried. And so I ask Aristotle to meet me back at his office.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Marcus. How are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you again.
Hi,
this is going to be Lamar.
Lamar, nice to meet you.
Lamar, nice to meet you. I'm Marcus.
Ian.
Ian, nice to meet you.
Jeremy.
Jeremy, nice to meet you. So do you guys all work for Ellison?
Part-time.
Part-time.
What do each of you do?
I'm the brand director and creative director for Ellison.
I do operations, so everything from logistics to sales fulfillment, the content and copy for all of our campaigns that we do.
The content and copy separate from the branding.
Correct.
And then what's your role?
My role is corporate branding. So like I like to say, the...
How's that different from what you do?
So I do the manufacturing side of it. So I'm the tangibles. I take his awesome ideas and his vision, and we put it to the tangibles, like the packaging itself.
I'm not really sure this business needs a whole team like this. The jobs that they're performing are really project-based, and it's almost like they didn't know who was on first. One guy's in branding, and the other guy's also in branding.
How much inventory do you have?
About 100,000.
At cost?
It costs about 50,000.
Can we look at the inventory that's back there? Come on,
absolutely.
Guys.
Let's look.
This is 50,000 of inventory?
Well, when you look at it, this is about 500 units, so you'd be approximately about $100 full retail.
No, but you told me it was 100,000 retail, 50,000 costs.
500 units, this would be 50,000 at full retail. Then you do 20% of that. So $30,000 if you want to do the actual.
$100,000, 20% is $20,000.
Yeah.
Do you not like math?
I guess right now it's back and forth, so.
I don't like math either. But guess what? I hire people to help do math for me. And it's not because I don't like math. It's just because it limits my true potential. Because it's a construct. It's an idea. It's a framework. And I know that he's fumbling, but I do have empathy.
Don't worry. He'll get a hug at some point. Do you have financials that we could look at?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So this is going to be 2014. Okay. We launched July 2014.
So 2014, total sales, 36,000.
Correct.
2015, sales of 95,000. 2016, 109,000 total sales. 2017, $229,000 in sales. Huge increase over 16. Lamar, how much did you lose in 2014?
151.
Okay, 15?
137.
16?
149.
2017?
68,000.
Okay. So overall, you lost more than your revenue.
Correct.
I just want to make sure that you guys understand. You start a company, $500,000, overtime comes in. Mm-hmm. There's no money left of any consequence. Mm-hmm. People say, well, where did the money go? Mm-hmm. In each one of the years, the company lost money through payroll, through rent, through mm-hmm. marketing. Mm-hmm. And now what's left is some glasses in an office and 30 grand in the bank. I think everybody's got to figure out what the business is really worth. It's done 500,000 in sales. It's lost more than it's actually generated in revenue. There's not much assets left. It's sunglasses in a relatively commoditized market. Mm-hmm. And so you got to really figure it out.
It's never been about the money. It's about creating something important, the money will follow. And I found a team that believes in that value. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see this thing go because of me leading the ship, not how I should have been leading it. And for them to make the sacrifices and not to be here when everybody else has left.
Right. Have other people walked out on you?
Everybody.
These guys stayed.
People leave companies all the time. In fact, it happens every day. But I think I struck a nerve because a guy that crumbles this quickly has to have something going on.
Guys, thank you. I'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you so much,
thank
Marcus.
You. It was great meeting
you guys.
It's
been a pleasure. Thank you.
Take it easy.
Hey, Marcus, how are you?
Hey,
Letty.
Good to see you.
Well?
Well, well, well. What have you learned about yourself being in business for yourself?
You know, it's really about the team. Because while I've been burned in the past, I guess you could say, and it's forced me to be by myself, I've learned never be shy to open up the opportunity for other people.
You've said a couple times that your trust has been violated, things have happened to you. Are you referring to your personal life or your business?
It's happened in both areas. You know, loss of partners to loss of significant others or close people in my life. My mother.
She passed away?
I don't know.
But you don't know if she's alive or not?
You know, there was a falling out within my family and my siblings, and I wasn't there. I was at school, and my siblings decided to make her feel that she was unwanted. I was in contact with my mother via email, and she's telling me kind of what went down, that everybody told her to basically F off. And I said, Mother, I would never leave you. And then one day the emails just stopped.
And you kept sending them with no reply?
No reply.
And how long ago was that?
5 years ago.
She has no idea that you even had this business?
No, no. It happened after.
I'm wildly sympathetic to what Aristotle has gone through. But if Aristotle can't get his head right about his role in his family, his confidence, then the business is going to take on those characteristics.
This issue with your family and your mother is definitely a roadblock for you because you're spending so much time trying to prove something to everybody else instead of just running your business.
He wears his emotions on his sleeve, then the business is going to wear those same things.
What's the business worth in your mind?
Well, obviously, I would say truly, if you look at the assets and everything, it'll probably be $1 million. But if you look at the true opportunity...
How do I look at the assets and get to $1 million?
Well, I'd say not necessarily the tangible assets, but everything else as a whole. Given our market traction, $500,000 total, just say 5 times value of that. 5 times multiple.
Well, okay. You've lost $500,000.
Yeah.
When have you actually done $500,000?
Life today.
But so you want me to pay you a multiple on what you've done since the inception of the company?
Well, you know, traditionally, we do 5 times multiple of sales.
Of earnings. I'm never going to get to $1 million valuation. I'm just not. But I do buy off on your product knowledge, your enthusiasm, and you have a little bit of street hustle to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that about you. I think the business is going to need $200,000. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to put up $200,000. I have to own 50.01% of the business so I can control every single part of the business and coach you through this process.
I don't think it's enough.
Okay.
My counter would be $500,000.
For 75 or 80% of the business? Or
for the same amount.
For the same amount?
For the same amount.
Because I want this relationship to start off on the right foot, we'll split the difference. $350,000 for 50%, which is way more than I want to spend.
If we can have the contingency in place that allows, like, I know that you said it.
Listen, I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's a yes or a no.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus.
I want to be clear about something. $350,000 is going into the bank, and I'm going to control what we do with it.
Yeah.
We're going to develop new products. We're going to get out and figure out how we're going to sell. We're going to build the brand. We're going to build the business from scratch.
Let's do it.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, what I want to understand is, what's everybody's role? What are they contributing?
When I met these guys initially, they couldn't even tell me what they did or what the other ones did. And so I felt like I needed to give them a clear path to success on what they were going to be graded on.
This is going to be so fun because quadrants are the best, because now we're talking shop. And that's what I love to talk about, Marcus.
You like to talk?
And the only way you can do that is to have defined roles with defined responsibilities with defined accountability.
Who's driving the division of the company right now?
I would say myself.
So the lack of clarity is because you're driving the process? Or because there is no process?
I mean, you say tomato, I say tomorrow. I think it's...
No. No, I say profit, you say I don't make any money. And we all collectively need to make money. And so it's not a tomato-tomato thing. Who's managing the inventory and the cash flow? Who's doing the projections, the sales and the gross?
As of right now, I would do the top left.
You're doing this?
I would be the top left, correct.
Okay. Who's handling product development, prototypes, and things of that nature?
Take a J, top right corner.
Logistics, fulfillment, customer experience.
That's me.
Okay. I? Who's setting the strategy, the marketing, and the communication?
I'll take a L, but then circle an L around all of it because smart marketing encompasses all of these four quadrants.
So you're not only handling this, but you're doing all of it.
Well,
it was sufficient enough just to say put an L in the bottom left-hand corner.
Totally. But we have to give construct to things, otherwise then people get lost, I feel like.
Or they get offended. We don't want anybody to be offended, right? We want everybody to feel like they're equally contributing.
Absolutely.
And that everybody's role is just as important as the next person's.
Totally.
And that's what offended him.
Is it me, or does Lamar think that he is the only one that can solve any problem in the world? Well, here's the newsflash, Lamar. You're not the only guy with answers.
If Ellison had a retail store, what would you fill the store with? Do you have enough glasses to open a store?
No.
So I want you to write up a 2,000 pair order. Jeremy, what I'd like to see from you are easy add-ons, product extensions that are going to be logical and obvious to the consumer. I want to see more progress from your individual quadrants, okay?
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you, sir.
So I'm taking these guys to Northbridge Mall, and I want to take them to an empty space, and I want to challenge them a little bit and see what kind of ideas they have.
Ultimately, the reason I brought you guys here is I thought we can come into a space. You guys can put all your web pictures on one wall, your branding, and then you're going to show me what you would do with this space if this was a store.
I asked them to print up images from their website because I wanted to understand in one clear picture what their branding looked like. And let's see what the cohesiveness is and what the theme is.
All right, let's use this just because it's...
Yeah, we won't destroy anything.
While we do this, if you want to start conceptualizing.
Yeah.
I think he already began.
Is this the About Ellison section on the website?
Yeah.
So can you read this to me?
We set out to create a sunglass company that embraces a natural act of loss. When we lose something as people, we often find something special in the process. Fear of losing your shade should never limit that process. At Ellison, we want to remove silly but very real anxieties about losing glasses while encouraging people to get lost in order to find something great.
The only time that I've ever heard a company market by using the word loss more often is an insurance company, where you're buying insurance to protect from loss. Where else would you be excited about losing something?
Every time the word loss or losing is on that sheet, I want you to highlight it in green. Any variation of the word.
It sounds like a commercial for a funeral home. Like, I know you've lost your loved one, but we have some amazing glasses to sell you.
What is the vibe that you get from that?
The emphasis on loss.
Loss is associated with a negative emotion.
Why can't it be empathetic? Because Aristotle has had some pain in his life, and that pain has been real, like people abandoning him.
But if we're trying to sell something, we're not trying to have that be the main theme.
And that was definitely a risk when going into it. I wanted to do something different, I think all of us, and really taking something that people don't talk about, myself included.
I don't mind that you wear it on your heart, but I mind that you wear it on the sleeve of the business, because that scares me. I worry when business owners wear their emotions on their sleeves and it takes the business in a direction that could confuse people or even depress them. The four of us have to figure out how to get you to see things differently, because the loss that you have in your personal life is real and I'm empathetic, but my fear is that taking on a space that you're gonna build out and decor, I'm scared that it's gonna have this feeling.
Now, I understand that personally he's hurting, and I want to help him through that. but I can't let that leak over into the business.
So you're going to be responsible to find all the products?
Yeah.
Okay? So you're going to do the execution of the space?
Yes.
And you'd have the logistics of getting the inventory here and managing it and putting the system in place?
Correct.
Okay.
I'm going to pretend to be a 25-year-old girl and walk and understand what do I want to see here. And then once I do a good job of that, I should be able to give Jeremy some ideas, some little details.
So you're going to handle the creative side?
I'm going to handle the creative side.
We're going to come back here in 45 days, and the store is going to be either open or it's not. Okay? What's happening?
What's up, Marcus?
Hey, Marcus.
How are you?
You got everything good?
Everything's good.
Great.
What's all this?
We have some cool brand extensions for that store we discussed.
I tasked these guys with coming up with products that would have some connection to the glasses. I mean, I was hoping for a ton of ideas.
So our extension from the sunglasses would be tie bars, cufflinks, a wallet, business card holders, and some pens.
Zero. I wouldn't do any of it because I don't understand the extension. And I don't think you guys understand your customer just yet. What does a cufflink have to do with a pair of sunglasses?
So our tie-in is the fact that sunglasses are an accessory.
So tell me who your customer is today.
I would say a young millennial, so between 18 and 35.
What percentage of your buyers are women?
Majority, 60%.
Okay, well, they don't buy cufflinks.
What?
So what are you holding?
I'm holding a pen
and
then a business card holder.
So millennials walk around with business card holders?
Yeah, I would believe so. I would say that.
Do you have one in your pocket?
Not on me.
Do you?
I don't have a business card holder.
Do you have a fancy pen like that?
No.
I'm sorry. I don't even know anybody that has a business card holder. And I dress up and I can't even remember the last time I wore cufflinks. And I'm not saying cufflinks are a bad thing, but how is that a natural extension off a pair of sunglasses?
What are the things that made the glasses so successful?
The attention to detail and the beauty in the acetates.
What kind of things can be made with acetate?
Bangles, inlays on a belt buckle.
This acetate piece is what would make you guys unique. So what I would like to do in the next round is create three more products. They must be made of acetate, and they must skew female. Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Opto.
Thank you.
In thinking about the new store space, I wanted to get Jeremy and Aristotle all of the resources that they would possibly need. So I've taken them to Opto, a company that builds floor and wall fixtures for companies to display their product on.
So, Jeremy, I really want you to explain to Jamie your vision of what you see with the space.
The layout of the store is specifically Jeremy's task, but to be honest, he didn't do so well on the last task. And ultimately, it's Aristotle's responsibility to manage the entire process. And so I'm having him here today so that he understands he needs to hold his team accountable.
Jeremy, really, I want you to design the space, how you're going to lay it out, what are the materials you're going to use. I know you've thought about it a little.
Not too much.
You haven't thought about how you're going to lay it out?
Lamar knows the creative vision.
We talked about him working on some branding, actually. We did not talk about him building out the store.
Well, there's the component of the vision and the branding that plays into the store.
We know elements that we want to create and the feelings that we want to evoke of the excitement. So we
Right, but we got 45 days to have feelings turned into open.
They knew that there was a very tight time frame. And they're looking at me like, we just thought you were going to do it all.
So the way you have to think about space planning is understand how the traffic's going to flow. And then you'll create a fixture plan that actually navigates them through. What's that going to look like?
Non-traditional style of a checkout, some sort of area into this connection.
So hold on. Is this where the register is?
In this area, yes.
So you'd be looking at somebody's back?
So then I guess not there.
What is it that you want the customer to see first?
What do I want them to see first? I mean, I want them to see, like, the vivid of the acetates, the bright, the fun. So there has to definitely be a flow in the process, which would come down to, in my mind, just part of the psychology on it would be, what are the items?
Jeremy?
But it's part of it.
You're giving me all these words. They walk
in. I gotta talk with my words. What am I supposed to
Just answer the question.
I wish for once I can ask a very simple question and just get a straight answer.
What is the first thing you want the customer to see?
Openness, being able to touch and feel, still having a warm, inviting element of seating. Have something that can entertain you. Maybe it's a bar. Maybe we have a display that converts into a bar so we can have a fun sort of pop-up event at our own pop-up, per se.
Just like the theme around here, there's always just talking and talking about nothing.
There's a 900 square foot box that needs to be built out to sell glasses. Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah. No running through fields with daisies and unicorns. What is going to happen with this space? Because if you guys would rather have Opto build out the space.
Opto doesn't know our ethos.
You don't know your ethos.
You know, Marcus, the vision, you know, as we built this. You know,
I still don't know the vision.
Well, let me finish my sentence.
I still don't know what the vision is. So don't keep talking without answering the question. I've had a lot of patience listening to a lot of words. What is the vision? Just tell me what it is.
We've lived the brand.
What is it?
The ethos is the dedication to the journey and that vision and to follow one's path, whatever that may be.
Was there any effort at all put into this, or is this store idea a giant waste of time?
You are responsible to get this store open. Yep. And ultimately, what I'm looking for is to invest in people who have a conviction. And you just shake your head and you go with the flow because you're so worried that if you push people that somebody's going to walk out.
There's a time and place when you need to push. And yes, is there a lot more times where I could push a lot? Or yes, is there reservations I have, personal reservations, emotional reservations I have by pushing toward?
What is an example of that?
You know, lost relationships, that comes through maybe in a negative way.
So when you decide to be in business, you understand that rejection is part of the territory.
Absolutely.
What I don't want to hear ever again from this day forward is that you don't want to push because you have this fear of losing something or someone. So today is the new beginning for you. Okay?
I could agree to that.
I wanted to give the guys a local source for acetate so they can use that and develop new products for the store, all sorts of accessories. So I'm taking them to State Optical, one of the largest glasses manufacturers in the area.
That is cool.
We're on par with any European manufacturer as far as cost.
Also, if we're going to open up a store a month from now, we need to put our best foot forward. So I'm meeting with Aristotle to go over what the replenishment inventory is going to look like.
We're going to get them in additional colors because we already have the mold set up.
A wall of options.
I think this business can sell 8,000 or 9,000 pairs of glasses a year. And I want to make sure that we have them in inventory, in production, and in transit at all times. Now that we have the order finalized, I sent Aristotle to Greece. I want him to put his eyes on the manufacturing process, and I want to see him come back with some new designs.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Marcus, how are you? Nice to see you.
How you doing, buddy?
How are you?
Doing good?
I'm heading over to Aristotle's office to see what work he did while he was in Greece. I want to see the new designs, I want to see new colors, and I want to see if he's getting really focused on the details.
So what is all this?
So when moms are purchasing our product, they're always asking if you have anything for kids. So I took this opportunity to explore what that possibility could look like.
I love the fact that you took the initiative to come up with other ideas. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that you were clever enough to come up with some colors because kids don't want to wear glasses that are just plain.
Yeah.
It's fun. They seem flexible. They seem durable.
I know that Aristotle and I had never talked about kids' glasses, but I have to give him credit for going outside of the box and thinking on his own without worrying about the risk of failure. That's showing a lot of personal development for him.
Are these new ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are adult.
This is gorgeous, man.
Yeah.
Look at the two-tone nature there. These are really nice. Is that what you have on?
Yes, what I have on.
You designed this?
I designed that.
Mm-hmm. This is a cool design. This is gorgeous.
Yes.
It looks like wood. Wow, this is really cool.
I actually like the aesthetic look of wood, but I don't like the functionality of it and the durability of it.
Aristotle, I'm just going to tell you, this one's spectacular. This one's great. This color's fun. This one's really great with the layers of acetate. Mm-hmm. Really great job.
What I really like about what Aristotle did with this order is he put more technical thought into it with fit and color and comfort. And he started working on designs for next season as well.
So these are going to be the new collection.
That's excellent. I love the design work. I love the color palette. It feels like you took the company to the next level. And so do you have your costs?
Yep. So I broke that down right here. So the product itself is going to come out to $28.28 in dollars just for the frame.
That's more than you told me when I first
met. Well, I was telling you in euro, which I should have been telling you in.
What the heck do you want me to do with euro? You know that you told me 22.9.
Yes, I didn't include the packaging. I didn't include the shipping. Now, I take responsibility. I did not tell you the right numbers, and I apologize.
Just think about how ridiculous this is. I'm going to write it down. You're going to walk me through this. Can you get your calculator out, please?
Sure.
Cost of the glasses.
Okay, the $28.28.
What about your cost to travel over there?
$6,000.
How many pairs of glasses will you make?
We'll do about 3,000.
So now I have to add $2 to the cost.
That's true.
Okay, next.
White paper boxes, $2.71. Then we have the vegan leather pouches, 97 cents. Trifold inserts, 57 cents.
Okay.
Microfiber cloths, 54 cents.
Okay. How much would the hard case be?
$3.
What else are you missing?
So these are actually considered medical supplies. So we have to get a certificate, FDA approval, which is $6,000.
A year?
A year.
What's that total?
$40.07.
Per pair. That's like almost double what you said. So the margin that I thought was there doesn't really exist. These numbers just have to be driven down.
This is a big mistake by Aristotle, a huge one. And it really makes me wonder whether he could actually manage this business as it gets bigger.
The cost has to be no more than $30, including everything.
Correct.
You definitely threw me off here.
Good
job, though.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you.
Things are moving forward at Ellison. Jeremy's getting ready to present the new product lines I asked him to develop. Meanwhile, Ian and Aristotle have put a new inventory management system in place. It allows us to know what inventory we have, where it's located, what we need to reorder, and it follows a replenishment model.
Hey, guys.
Yes. How are you?
Hey, Marcus.
How you doing, buddy?
Seeing you.
I'm getting ready to sign the lease for the new store, and I'm excited to see all the new product extensions and the marketing plan that's going to support it.
Let's look at some of the products.
This is everything?
This is everything.
Thought of a really cool concept of a valet tray. Like, you know, when you come home and you take everything off, we wanted to find something that can collect all of their items together, all their Ellison pieces.
It has to have acetate to make it interesting. Oh.
This is a metal sunglass strap.
An alternative croaky.
Like a leash for my glasses.
Correct. It protects your glasses.
It protects your glasses or protects you from misplacing them?
Misplacing them, yes. The loss of glasses is a huge problem.
Oh, right? My God.
You lose it.
Did he just... okay. Oh, my goodness. Did you actually just say that? And is there acetate on here?
No acetate.
That was our whole thing. Find things made of acetate.
All of these little finishing of the embellishments here can be transitioned to taking acetate and making those the emblems on there. My bigger concern was the metals, clasp, things like that.
That looks ridiculous.
You think so?
And the task was find products that are made out of acetate.
Yeah. Fair enough.
These pieces that sit here, with your direction, can be modified to become more on brand. But the driving, deciding factor on all of this was timeline.
I don't know what I'm doing to improperly communicate to Jeremy, but we're standing here a month later. And I gotta be honest, I think the presentation's even worse.
If I had done what I normally do, which is find the space, build it out, spend the money, and surprise you guys with it, I would be totally screwed right now.
These pieces were ones that we knew could be brought to the store in the 30 days. If you think a brand's gonna recreate itself in 30 days of items it doesn't have before on a long-term goal, where's the realism in that?
There's a lot of realism.
Where?
The assignment was to come back with things with acetate. There's no acetate on these. The assignment was to come back with things with acetate. There's no acetate on this.
We never locked firm on that, and if that were the case, it takes 2 weeks.
What do you mean you never locked firm on it? Of course we locked firm on it. This is really directed at you as opposed to the other guys. I didn't expect it to be like the finished product, like, ta-da! All I wanted you guys to do was come up with products that had it. And if I had the confidence, I'd be like, okay. But that didn't even happen.
Does Jeremy drive me absolutely crazy?
Yes.
But ultimately, this is Aristotle's responsibility. He was able to go to Greece and get a bunch of stuff done. But the fact that he left these details slip through the cracks shows me that he's incapable of managing people. So how could I be comfortable with him managing a store?
And so I think at the end of the day, like, I don't think it's appropriate for the company at this point to open a store because I don't know how we would generate the revenue. Disagree?
I mean, you know, to guide and to lead this was very difficult.
No, no, no. Do you disagree with the business logic behind that? Would you open a store tomorrow?
No, no.
I'm really conflicted in this moment because while I'm frustrated with some of the things that he does, I'm also fascinated by his hidden talent. And I see glimpses of it, and I know that the potential inside of him is phenomenal.
I mean, honestly, that is a disaster. I'm not sure that these guys are adding in value. What did they really bring to the table besides he found some jewelry online and he brought it to the meeting and he bought a box?
What everybody brings to the table is loyalty and their...
Listen, from a business standpoint, what was brought to the table? Realistically. It's not a, personal thing.
Okay, so,
from a business standpoint.
It's nothing.
But I'm not advocating that you're not friends with them.
Oh, absolutely. And that's...
I think you need to know that what happened here is a failure.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that I'm walking out the door. And you need to know that you don't have to keep people around that can't help the business move forward because you feel like you're going to be alone.
I understand that.
You're the leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you're going to have to make the corrections that preserve the friendship and move the business forward. In the next couple of weeks, we need to relaunch the brand. Let's plan in 2 weeks. We're going to do a full product launch. And maybe we show up with some other product extensions. Okay?
Fair enough. Thanks.
Thank you. Hey, hey.
What's up, Marcus? How are you?
Today's the day that Aristotle is set to present me with all of the new Ellison products. With the opening of my new store, Marcus, in the Meatpacking District in New York City, I wanted Ellison to be able to also launch their new products at the same time.
Oh, this is new. This is light, right?
Yeah. We're going to have about 10 different color variants just in the men's. Purple, blue, yellow. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to bring down the cost. So the way we've done that is we changed the packaging so it travels flat and then we assembled it upon pickup. We're actually going to be able to bring it down another probably 30 to 40%. Everything together.
It actually has more personality. So what is this? That's kind of nice. At least I'm not talking about getting lost.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you lose something, which is not the premise of this, what happens after you find a new beginning?
Have you found a new beginning?
100%. You said, I'm not going to leave you. And that investment in confidence is what pushed me to where we are today. And I appreciate that. This is going to be our earrings.
Okay. It seems like you skewed female like I asked you to.
Yes, absolutely. This is going to be a beaded bracelet.
It definitely took him a while to get to this point. But Aristotle, on his own, came up with a number of product extensions that, quite frankly, I'm even surprised by.
This is like a gift box. So you could actually serve this as a sunglass and
a
jewelry case. Correct.
I really like it.
The prototypes that Aristotle has developed that'll now get put into production show me that he really understands his business better. It's geared towards women, it's made with acetate, and there's a process in place to bring new products to the market.
This really all got done when you did it yourself. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sold these out of the trunk of my car, got it to a point where I got some good attention from some high-level people, and now you guys are a part of that.
A new milestone. Oh, you got everything good? There's some customers that want to talk to you. Can you do a fitting real quick?
Oh, my God.
The measurement of success isn't always big store openings or huge product launches. In this particular case, the measurement of a win is really in seeing Aristotle's progress. For now, we're going to take baby steps. And if I could get a decent return on my investment and he can make a solid living, I would consider that a pretty good win.
You've been listening to The Profit, the podcast from CNBC. I'm Marcus Lemonis. For more of The Profit, subscribe today wherever you listen.